97.5, The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another week of Mike Mastella Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. And, there are many topics that we need to discuss today. And it would be kind of in the category of the good, the bad, the uncertain. So I always like to start with the good. And the good happened yesterday afternoon. The Flyers, out of the chute, after a couple sharpening exhibition games, dominated the Boston Bruins. Now, we were on Friday. Every hockey expert has the Bruins as the favorite to win the Stanley Cup. And guess what? They got reduced. The Flyers outplayed them, except for the first part of the game where I thought the Bruins carried the play to them. The Flyers outplayed them from top to bottom. And you look at this team, you go, okay, are they going to come out the same way they ended the season? They were on a big-time roll. Well, it certainly looks to me they haven't missed a beat. This is a team that has lines 1-4 that can contribute. I don't remember the last time I saw 1-4 being able to contribute like this. That fourth line has a little offense to them. And they're getting some offense. And Lotz is arriving as an offensive player. Provorov was fantastic. And the kid goalie. What more can you say about him? Now, the thing about the Flyers is their first line wasn't really offensively active, but defensively against the Bruins' top line, they dominated them defensively. They smothered that first line. And so every other line contributes. Looks like you're going to win a lot of games that way, where your first line doesn't have to carry to play. And you can tell how good a team is when the head coach tells you how good they are. Normally, head coaches don't like to do that. This guy has come out, Alain Vigneault, and said this is a bona fide Stanley Cup contender. And he should know, he's been in the game for a really long time. So, Flyer fans, you watched that game yesterday, you had to be ecstatic with what you saw. And the Flyers, now they have 3 days off until they play the next game Thursday. They look like a team that's poised to do something, man. I don't like to get ahead of myself when I see one game, but this was a carryover on what they were before. So that makes it a little more legit. This is not a one-game thing where they just shocked the world. They came out and played at the same level, and that is a tribute to this head coach and a tribute to those players. You know, the young players are playing well. The veteran players are doing their job. I'm just totally impressed with the Flyers right now. And we'll talk a lot about that today with Flyer fans. So now let's move to the topic that gives us the most angst. The Sixers always give us the most angst. And again, I don't want to get carried away with one game. In fact, I think they'll win tonight. The Spurs are in a back-to-back, right? I think the Sixers will win tonight. We'll have a different conversation tomorrow. But let's talk about this conversation after game one, where they lose to a team that should never be able to beat them. And I'll also say this. There is not a guy not named Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant that should score 53 against you, unless it's Harden. But a guy whose name is TJ Warren, his name is not Kobe Bryant, and it's not Michael Jordan, and there's no way he should ring you for 53. It's just simple as that. And if he does, there's nothing wrong with you. Yeah, he shot the ball well. This is supposed to be a good defensive team. They don't look like it against Indiana. And they look, in fact, they look like the same old team that I saw before. And one of the reasons why I wasn't ready to push the button that this team was going to be different is because they had created a profile for themselves. And it's hard for me to believe in the idle time they would have changed that profile. And they haven't. They haven't changed the profile. And it doesn't matter where Ben Simmons is playing. They had a couple of guys out there that didn't even exist in that game. And when they take and beat out of the game, they're nothing. And we saw Al Horford. You saw it. I mean, come on. He doesn't look like a player who is a player anymore. He just doesn't. Now, we can sit here and pick on Shake Milton. We can pick on Josh Richardson, who wasn't engaged at all. Tobias Harris, I thought, played well. Embiid played well. Simmons didn't take a shot. And besides that, he shirked his defensive responsibilities all game long. I'll say this one thing about Shake that disappointed me. Again, I thought we were overshaking it a little bit with Shake, but I thought he was going to be a solid performer. What I did not like about him was that in that that conflict on the sidelines, he's not good enough and doesn't have enough clout not to apologize for it after the game. Like, you can't come out and say, I appreciate his social justice stand, but you can't say I'm not the only thing I'm talking about today. You're not big time enough for you to not come out and say, listen, my temper got a little out of control. I'm sorry. That'll never happen again. You're not big enough to put out this, like, you know, this chest thing. Like, I didn't do anything wrong. So that's the thing I worry about with Shake Milton. We're talking about whether this team still has that chemistry. They're supposed to be like develop all of a sudden. They're going to be in this bubble and develop this chemistry. That's like shooting an arrow in a balloon as far as the chemistry goes when that thing happens on the sideline. Can't have it. And a rookie caliber player like Shade Milton shouldn't hit big time it by sniffing at it. Am I right or wrong, Tyrone?
You're completely right. And if you Danny Parmel's put on social media on his Twitter, he put the sequence of what happened.
I saw that, right? Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
He made three bad plays in a row.
In a row.
And Embiid told him about it. Now, you can say what you want, but maybe Embiid shouldn't tell him about it, but Embiid's a big enough time player to get on somebody.
And you got to remember that when that happened, the Sixers early in the game, very early in the game, things were going okay. Then that happened. They go to the bench, and then that 17-0 run happens with Korkmaz in the game. So I think Embiid sensed at the moment that things were getting away from him early when they should have been in control of the game, because he had got Turner out of the game with fouls in about a minute and a half. So I think he's thinking, let's go. And Shake at that time has to eat it and address it after the game.
He does have to eat it, and he came right back at him with an MF.
And Embiid didn't like that MF.
No, you see, Shake, come on, man. You don't have that kind of status. You know, if you're playing bad, just say I'm playing bad and then talk about it at the game. You know, I was terrible and I shouldn't have reacted that way. Come on, man. You don't have enough juice to blow it off like you're some kind of star and you don't have to address it.
Exactly. And what I agree, because you know I'm a Shake guy. But
yes.
T.J. McConnell took his lunch money.
Yeah, he did.
He flat out did. And if you're letting that happen, you got to get mad at T.J. McConnell, not at one of your teammates. And he never went back at the guys that was busting his butt. Instead, he's lashing out at a teammate. And that I don't like. Lash out at the other team when they're busting
your butt. You're wasting energy
right.
when you're doing something like that.
And that tells me mentally, now maybe it was one game. I don't think so, but maybe it was. He wasn't mentally ready for the pressure of that moment.
Yeah, I'm in it. My head's in a vice now because I don't want to overreact because it is one game. But I'm not real hopeful about this squad. I'm just not real hopeful. And my plan, the only chance they had to actually achieve, in my view, was to lose that game. So on one hand, I'm okay with them losing the game, but the methodology of the way they lost, they didn't show me anything different. They're short. They don't have enough, and I'm not even sure if they have enough. If they stay in the sixth spot, I'm even sure they have enough to beat Boston. And that's a hard conclusion to come to, man. And it's a disappointing conclusion. And it takes your enthusiasm and energy and optimism right out the window. So we'll talk about it. Now, quickly on the uncertain part of it, the two uncertains. Number one is the newsy uncertain with Doug Peterson testing positive for COVID-19. That's problematic, obviously, because you're going to be away from the team now and quarantine for a while. But it brings in the obvious discussion as to whether the NFL is going to be able to pull this off. And one by one, the dominoes fall. So it brings that back in. We start feeling secure and hopeful about whether leagues can pull this off and something like this happens. And I'm sure you're going to see many more news stories that way. So hopefully he recovers from this and everything is fine. And now uncertainty two is tonight. Philly's back at it. Feels like they haven't played forever. Feels like this is their first game of the year. And they have to do it in Yankee Stadium against Garrett Cole, which they have not hit in now. This is eighth day without baseball. So they haven't hit off Major League pitching in that particular time. These pitchers, I don't know how sharp they can be pitching on the sidelines. If they beat Garrett Cole tonight, it would be a miracle. To be honest with you, the way Judge is slugging home runs,
I think the Yankees opened -330.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think it was 300 this morning.
This is not a great spot for the Phillies, and that would be a 1-3 start, which is not good either in this shortened season. So that's uncertain. I don't know what to tell you about the Phillies. We're back at it. At least we'll get our eyeballs on them in another game. But we'll talk about it. Sixers and Flyers, 610-632-0975. We'll talk about the Eagles and the Doug Peterson situation with Derek Gunn at 4 o'clock. And it's your calls, because this is a day of reaction on the Mike Missanelli Show. The 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly, back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, 3:30. Let's get an update on the Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Aganoff. Nat.
Thanks, Mike. The poll has over 1,700 votes on this one. Have you lost all faith in the Sixers after the loss on Saturday? 57% say yes, 42% say no.
Okay.
It went up.
Yeah.
It did go.
Went down and then went back up again.
This is going to be an interesting number to follow all day long here.
Yeah.
As we have our conversations. Sometimes it amazes me, the reach of the show and the coincidences of the people that listen. Because, and how we get into certain topics. So we got the topic of Ashford Simpson because I got an email saying that Nick Ashford could have done a better job guarding T.J. Warren. Right, out of the blue, Nick Ashford of Ashford says, so I start talking about Ashford and Simpson. So I just got an email from Elliot, who's a local guy, he's a mortgage guy, and his email says that his stepdad is James Simpson.
Okay.
Valerie Simpson's brother.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
What?
Yes. And he's Nick's Ashford's brother-in-law, James Simpson.
Right.
Right? Well, not only that, but Valerie has another brother who is, his name's Raymond Simpson, who was the lead singer, Cop, in the Village People.
That was her brother?
Yes.
Really?
What? Cop was her brother.
Wow.
And so this dude said, his stepdad, he was all around the tours and the parties, travel with the Village People, yeah, and the whole bit. And Ashford Simpson was in, they would throw an annual 4th of July party. It had every significant black figure from Maya Angelou to Oprah Winfrey.
Wow.
It was amazing.
That's incredible.
That is
it
incredible.
Really is incredible.
That's incredible.
So on that note, do we have, is it still good to you?
Yeah, I got it.
Here we go. Here you go, Nat. A little taste of Ashford and Simpson. And they're a married couple, by the way, Ashford and Simpson.
They're adorable.
Yes. And they wrote together and sang together and toured together. And they were a viable act for a lot of years and very proficient in albums. So here it is. This is Is It Still Good to You?
You touch me and make me feel that wonderful glow the way you do. Been a long time since you held me and squeezed me so I wonder what's come over you. Such a funny thing to talk about. Don't know if it's right to do. Nowhere to turn to. Ooh, I'm up against the wall. And I wanna know, is it still good?
the arrangements of those kind of songs. Oh. Like they had great studio musicians. Like you had a little guitar in there, you know? And their arrangements were brilliant.
They were
excellent. They really were.
Excellent. Right, and it builds up.
Yeah, they were so soulful, Asphalt.
Yes. They
really were.
As soon as they opened, I was like,
soulful,
this is
smooth.
It.
Yeah. Yep. All right, let's go back to the phones. Terrence and in New Jersey. Terrence, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What up, Mike?
What's going on, Terrence?
Man, y'all about to make me bring out my soft side with that
song. Oh, they were in love. Come on, Asphalt said they're in love. Love couple.
Yeah. I hope I stay married as long as they did.
Yeah.
But now I wanted to talk about the Sixers, man. I'm all Philly sports fan, and I love the Sixers. I'm going to keep watching them to the end. But unfortunately, Matt Brown, of course, is going to be their demise. Now I know I'm beating a dead horse. I want to touch on 2 points: Korkmaz and Shake Milton. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna start with Milton because Korkmaz is the obvious. I want everybody to lay off of Shake Milton. That dude from North Jersey, wherever he was from. That says Shake Milton wasn't doing. He basically downplayed Shake Milton. The kid had one bad game.
Yeah.
Okay. He plays D. He can shoot the ball. Okay. And let's not forget the kid had a 39-point game against the Clippers. Mm-hmm. Who's the second best team, in my opinion, the third best team in the league, second best in the West.
Yep.
And I think they'll beat the Lakers when they're
four. It's no time to jump off. I thought we went a little too far with the Shake, but he did play enough to say, okay, he can help them.
Right, right. And and I think that with the lineup they have now, I think they match up better with a lot of the Eastern Conference teams also with him in the starting lineup. I think Ben is a natural point forward. That's just my opinion. Now, as far as Korkmaz, I mean, I'm beating a dead horse when I say this again, but I mean, that dude should not be, he shouldn't touch the court. I mean, because he's going to stay in the rotation, that's why the Sixers may not get past the second round. He can't defend. He played two more minutes than Thibault and Alec Burks, who Alec Burks had a good game in the limited minutes he played. I don't know why he doesn't play him more than Korkmaz, but it's obvious. And the season, like Mike, the season is not salvageable because they will get eliminated in the second round again, just because of his rotations. And it's a shame because they have enough talent to get past the Toronto Raptors, who's well coached, by the way. That's why they're doing so well without Kawhi Leonard, because Nick Nurse is a good coach.
Yes, he is.
And coaching is a major factor.
No, I think you're right. I think our instincts are both right, Terrence, about how far this team can go. But again, they have 7 games now to figure out a little something, and it starts tonight. They're going to win tonight. So we're going to see some good things tonight that we're going to talk about tomorrow. And Shake Milton's going to go for 15 with 6 assists tonight. I think he's going to give you 15 and 6. So now I don't know if it'll continue. Who knows? But I think to bail out on him after that one game is not the proper thing to do. Now, if he plays as vacant as he did in that first game, the next 2-3 games, then you got a problem. And then you may have to go back to the other way.
At that point, you either put Burks in the starting lineup or Thibault in the starting lineup and give the ball back to Ben.
You know, it's not a bad idea to put Thibault in the starting lineup just to give you a defensive presence and get a couple easy baskets off turnovers.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against that and have Shake as the first man off the bench instead of Korkmaz.
He used him first, didn't he?
Cork was
the first
man
off the bench.
And it was a 17-0 run. And then I got to deal with Euro John and people telling me, it's not all Korkmaz's fault. All I was stating was the fact of they're winning the game. Korkmaz came in and immediately, it could have been a coincidence, but the Pacers went on a 17-0 run.
Like I told you, I got nothing left when it comes to that dude. I got nothing more. I've exhausted everything I can say about him. So you decide for yourself. It's up to you. Steele, call from San Francisco. What's up, Steele?
Oh, my goodness. You know I love 97.5, The Fanatic, a Beasley Media Group station. What's going on?
What did you do, move out there, or are you on vacation?
No, I'm seeing some relatives.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not a bad city to see it in. You staying good, though, with the pandemic?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, all right.
Thank you for asking. And you call Tyrone and Nally. What a fantastic city this is.
It's a great city. I'm sure you guys have been to San Francisco? No? You have it. Natalie's been.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Philadelphia of the West Coast. It is.
It is a northern city in California.
Yeah, it's really good. All right, let's talk a little sports, shall we?
Yes, sir.
Mike, the general managers of the four Philadelphia sports. All right, you look at the Scott Fletcher with the Flyers, how he turned this organization around, and then you look at, you know, I don't want to call them boobs or just slow, but look at the other three. What do you think?
Well, right now, none of them have extinguished themselves. Fletcher has, and it's Chuck, by the way, Fletcher, not Scott.
What do I call him?
He called Scott. It's disrespectful.
Who are you?
Disrespectfully after that debut yesterday.
All right. Sorry. Slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's done a great job. I was saying, like, he has read players that, and I use the term eager. And he, you know, you have to, a good general manager has to have an instinct for that. He's got guys that are eager. And he's done it.
The coach, the hockey team, exudes class. And just to get back on that, the Klentak and McPhail, what does the president do?
I don't know what McPhail does.
Does he play tennis?
Yeah, I don't know what he does.
He plays tennis, I think.
Well, yeah, I salute to him. He's got a salary. He's got a title. He's got a parking space. At his stage, at his life, what's he care?
Yeah, well, he even said that about making the playoff. If we do, we do.
Yeah.
If we don't, we don't.
Exactly.
Probably how he thinks about a lot of things.
Listen, man, he's busy online looking for a velvet elbow patch blazer.
There you go.
Yeah.
What does he do?
He's looking for.
What does he do? We know who the GM is and the owner. What does he do?
I have no idea what he does.
Is he part of the marketing? Like, does he on that side of it? Does he work on like the business side?
I don't know.
Probably.
The baseball's
like, I do wonder.
I don't know. I got nothing.
Dealing with schmoozing. Like, I do wonder what he does.
Schmoozing. Probably.
I know what he does.
Okay.
All right. So, on the other side, we do have the Phillies rotation this week. It does not include the youngster. So, we'll give you the matchups for the Yankees and see how many games they can squeeze out of this. Four games of the Yanks. What do you got?
Oh.
You got 2-2?
No.
No? 1-3?
Yeah.
That's over then. Yep. They go 1-3, it's over.
It's over.
Back after this, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's bring in a man who covers the Eagles, Derek Gunn, NBC Sports Philly. Derek, what is first of all, the situation with Doug Peterson? How will that play out for the Eagles?
Well, if he's fine, and if he's tested later this week and he's fine, he can go back next week. He might be able to go back sooner. But you know what's going to happen. You know, you've already had three players placed on COVID reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a head coach. And you can do everything you can and take every precautionary measure you can. You know there's going to be more cases.
Yes.
It's just a matter of who mm-hmm. and when. You know, it's like the flu. You know, somebody's going to get the flu and somebody's going to spread it to a bunch of other people. You know, and that's the case with this thing. Until medical officials can get on top of this thing and come up with a vaccine and all this good stuff, you know, it's going to happen. You just hope you keep the numbers down. If you go back to, I believe it was late July, the latest figure was there was like 63 players heading into training camps that had tested positive or were associated with teams that tested positive. So you know it's going to filter throughout the organization. Once they congregate and start practicing at team meetings, I don't care how much you try to social distance, this thing is unavoidable in a lot of cases.
So, I'm with you. You don't sound optimistic about whether they can pull this thing off. Is that where you're going with this?
I don't think you can isolate yourself or a group of guys enough to prevent it from spreading. You hope you can minimize it and keep it under control and isolate the necessary people before it gets out of control. But we're going to see more and more cases as we continue to see more and more guys opt out. We're going to see more and more cases for those who decide to stay and play. You just hope it doesn't have a devastating effect where it affects your roster severely by the time you get to September.
You know, the NFL is a really interesting league because they go stubbornly along and they don't take a breath on what can possibly happen here. So with that backdrop, I know a lot of other players have opted out. The Eagles seem like they have a solidarity of sorts as far as not opting out. Do you see this team like trying to pull it off without anybody opting out? Except for Goodwin. Obviously.
Except for Goodwin, yeah, absolutely. These guys are committed to the cause. These guys and the guys that I've talked to, they have thought this thing through thoroughly. They have talked it over with family members, people they respect and trust, and they feel that they are making the right decision right now for the betterment of their families. And, you know, there are other teams out there where we haven't seen players opt out yet. You look at the Patriots, a team that's had players, seven players, opt out. And so this team is united and trying to come together as a team and being solid of one mind, one accord, and trying to win as many games as they can for the fans of Philadelphia. Now, hopefully they can sidestep this thing, Mike, as we've talked about time and time again. But man, you just don't know. I mean, what's mediocre now could blow up by late August, September. You just keep your fingers crossed and hope for the better.
It's like a one day at a time situation with this thing.
Exactly.
So, we're talking to Derek Gunn. He covers the Eagles, among other things, NBC Sports Philly. Now, Derek, does the league have a break point? We always like if several star quarterback players would get affected, how would that influence the way the NFL looks at this? Or you think they're just hell bent to next man up, let's finish the season? Do you see a break point?
I think if you had a contingent of star players who basically would come out and say enough is enough, I think the league might look at that seriously and say, okay, we've got to pause this thing. But if it's like sporadic players, I think they're going to try to push through. We've already seen them talk about how they're going to lose. They're expecting to lose significant revenue money from gate receipts and fans and merchandise and stuff like that. But that big TV contract is still in place, and they can recoup a lot of money with that TV contract. And I think they're going to do everything possible to play this season, not putting people in jeopardy or at risk, but they're going to try to make a sound decision as possible to see this thing through. And I think it's going to be that next man up mentality. And I think that's part of the reason why they expanded the practice squad roster from 10 to 16 this season.
All right, let's talk about the team now and what you're seeing. And, you know, Carson Wentz is saying all the right things. I don't know if I would be that congenial when they drafted Jalen Hurts here, but he's saying all the right things, although he did admit that they hadn't talked very much. And he said he's here to help Jalen every step of the way. I wouldn't be. I would Brett Favre him, to be honest with you. But what do you think is happening?
Why am I not surprised you said that?
No, seriously. You know, I didn't like it. Like, if I'm Carson Wentz, I don't like this a little bit. So sort that situation out for me. What do you see in a kid? Do you see an unfettered quarterback is going to come in and that's going to motivate him or what? You know, and he's going to have a monster year? How do you read the tea leaves here?
Here's the way I would read it if I'm Carson Wentz. This organization just gave me a $130-something million contract and X amount of $1 million guaranteed. I'm good. You can bring in who you want to bring in. You can bring Brett Favre out of retirement. You can bring in, you know, Peyton Manning if you want to. I'm good. I got my guaranteed money. I'm the starting quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'm going to do the best that I can possibly as a leader of this team to help any and everybody I can to make this team better. As far as Jalen goes, I think he's going to come in here. His head's going to be swimming. because they lost all that valuable offseason practice time. I don't think he's going to be much of a factor early on, but I do think somewhere down the road we're going to see some Taysom Hill situations with him. But if I'm Carson Wentz, I don't have a worry in the world right now. I'm in the prime of my career. I understand I have this black cloud hovering over my head that I haven't won a playoff game yet, but you know what? This organization put its trust and faith in me to give me this much money to be the leader of this organization, the face of this organization. I've got no problems right now.
Yeah, I get it. They did put their faith and trust in him until they drafted a guy in the second round. And then the faith and trust seemed to...
Okay, but what is that guy going to do for much of this season? Stand on the sideline wearing his cap backwards, holding the clip chart, charting plays. Am I worried about Jalen Hurts in 2020? No.
Okay.
If I have a season similar to 2017, am I going to worry about him in 2018? Mm-hmm. No.
Well, you're right.
I've got at least two years before I have to worry
about
the guy.
I mean, I'm sure that that's the best way to look at it, and I'm sure I need maturity classes. So let me ask you this other question, and this is the offensive line situation, which is really interesting now that they signed Jason Peters, who I didn't know that he would be a willing acceptor of the right guard position when he thinks he's better than the young kid that's going to start at left tackle. So how do you sort this out?
Well, you know, Jason told us in the locker room near the end of last season that if the Eagles wanted him to play a guard position, he would be willing to do it. So he was already of the mindset that could be a possibility. And obviously, it became more of a reality when Brandon Brooks went down with the Achilles injury. But the Eagles have confidence in Andre Dillard. I'm not so confident in Dillard right now. He played 29% of the snaps. He played okay. He had some hiccups, which is understandable for a young player learning along the way. But he's had one of the best tutors in the game in Jeff Stoutland, one of the best offensive line coaches in the game, and he's had one of the best mentors he could possibly have in Jason Peters, a future Hall of Famer. So now Andre Dillard has to go out and show that he was worthy of being that draft pick that the Eagles moved up a couple of spots for to get. I look at Jason Peters' situation. When you play that left tackle spot, you're on an island, and your mistakes and your accomplishments are more magnified because you're out there by yourself. Now, Jason Peters moves over and plays between a Pro Bowl right tackle and a Pro Bowl center. And he has to cover less space when the ball is snapped. I have no problems whatsoever with Jason Peters playing that right guard position. As a matter of fact, if I'm a running back, I'm hoping you call every running play to me to the right side. I have three Pro Bowlers, including a future Hall of Famer, opening lanes for me. So I think Jason Peters is going to flourish in that spot. Hopefully he won't jump off sides as much as he did at the left tackle position.
Yeah.
But that remains to be seen.
Yeah, I think it's safe that he won't because, you know, he's trying to get that edge on the outside. All right, so there are a lot of people that think good things about the Eagles if they do play this whole season. Are you one of those? Can they do something this year?
I think they're going to be right in the mix. This Dallas team, I know everybody hates Dallas, and I'm at the top of that list, but I've always been a big fan of Mike McCarthy and the way he tutors quarterbacks and offenses. I look at what Dallas has added down there on both sides of the football. I think Dallas is going to be a heck to deal with. The Saints are as loaded as anybody. You can possibly. I'm interested in seeing what Tom Brady does with all those weapons down in Tampa. You got Green Bay and Minnesota, so I think health is the key, as we state every year. Health is the big key, but I think the Eagles have enough talent on both sides of the football to be right there in the mix when playoff time comes. How far can they go remains to be seen in terms of their health, being hot at the right time, and who they're facing at that time as well. So I think they're good enough to compete and win the division, but I don't think it's a slam dunk they're going to win the division.
All right, D Guns, time to get back to work now. What do you have been you doing during the pandemic? You've been firing up a lot of ribs, doing some fishing. What was the activity?
Yes and yes, grill, fishing. You know what they say: clear the mind and the soul will follow.
Uh-huh.
That's what I do. I'm
like
either
it.
Outside in the heat, getting black lung disease grilling, or I'm out in the water somewhere with nature, not thinking about anything, man. And I'm good either way.
I like it. All right, now listen, we'll talk to you up the road. Thanks.
All right, man. You guys have a good one.
Derek Gunn, checking in.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.